Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Morning, everybody. Thank you. You can take your seats. High five somebody and say, your socks look funny. If you don't have socks, your feet look funny. Welcome to church, everybody. You all good? Thank you for the five that are doing well. Those that are doing bad, I'm sorry, but it's going to get better. All right. Because God is here and He's doing the things. We just had people getting baptized. I mean, what else can we do but have our faith rise and be expectant for what God is doing in this church and through this church and in people's lives? I mean, isn't it beautiful to see young people, old people, all getting baptized, all deciding to follow Jesus? It just shows me and reminds me, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are. Jesus is Jesus. He is true and we all need Him. So that's exciting. But just one more thing. If you're new with us or maybe been coming for a while and you have never introduced yourself to us, Get Connected is happening after the service. Make sure you make your way there. We'd love to get to know you, spend some time with you, and just introduce yourself to us and us to you. And, you know, place is just so much better, so much more warmer if we know each other, right? Good? Everyone good? We're in our Faith Forward sermon series. Pastor Kulu kicked it off amazingly last week. It was all about the stretch, right? Remember that? As you stretch, God helps us and gets us through that space. It's in the stretch where the faith happens. So we face forward by stretching, right? And it's my great privilege to introduce us to part two of the series. And with that, I want to thank Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace for this. I do not take it lightly. There's a great privilege to share God's word, and I'm very, very excited for it. But part two of our Faith Forward sermon series, turn to someone and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, now turn to the other person and say, you don't look ready. All right. So church, have you ever wondered why certain things happen to you and seemingly happen to you only? Right? Have you ever felt like life is throwing things at you that you've never asked for? Do you ever find yourself holding on to things that you wish you could let go of, but you just can't seem to let go of it? Do you ever feel like your past controls you or shapes you or molds you or does something to you and you just wish it wouldn't do it anymore? Have you ever wondered why it is so much easier to remember your past mistakes than your past victories? If you look at the past year, you can probably like name all your mistakes, but maybe name one or two good things that happened. Church, have you ever considered that the things that were setbacks in your life are actually the very things that are setting you up for something greater? Ever consider that? Well, today we're talking about these things. Today we're talking about how to face forward in spite of the things that were supposed to be setbacks in lives. We're talking about how to step forward or step up from things that were supposed to knock us down, and how we can face forward, not in spite of those things, but because of those things. Today we're talking about how to face forward, how to step up from our setbacks. That's the title of a message. If you're taking notes and you want to go to heaven, you want to write this down. Step up from our setbacks, all right? In order for us to face forward, in order for us to achieve our full potential in God, in order for us to take our next step, in order for us to have faith levels that are beyond imagination, we need to be people with the help of the Holy Spirit who are able to step up from our setbacks. We need to be able to do it. If not, we'll never ever reach our full potential in God. Why? Because our future potential in our faith is locked behind the past setbacks we have faced. Our future potential in our faith is locked behind the past setbacks we have faced. It's gotten very quiet in this Presbyterian church. You don't believe me? I'm going to give you some proof. All right. David understood the forgiveness and the love and the authenticity that he could have with God. Because in his darkest moment, in his setback, in his committing of adultery, he saw he could be real with God and God would still love and forgive him. And as a result, David stepped up from that setback, and David gave us what? He gave us Psalms. The whole of Psalms, most of it, is written by David and shows us how to be real with God. He says, God, please kill my enemies. Oh God, please squash them with a rock and step on them. And he goes, God, I love you. God, I'm depressed. God, I'm happy. God, I'm sad. And he has this unique ability of being real with God. Why? Because in his darkest moment, he stepped up from it and he saw that he could be real with God in his darkest space. What if David never committed adultery? Would he have known that he could be real like that with God? Maybe you don't believe me. Maybe give another example. Paul understood the life-changing transformation power of Jesus. In one day, God changed his entire life by meeting him on the road of Damascus, and everything shaped and changed for him. Why? Because Paul was a murderer of Christians, and in one moment, that setback of murdering Christians, in one moment, Jesus changed his entire life. What did Paul give us? Most of the New Testament, right? He wanted everyone to know and understand the life-changing transformation power of Jesus. His setback was the very thing that gave him the ability to do that. Moses, Families in slavery, what a massive setback, right? Commits murder, massive setback. But is the man who leads the Israelites out of slavery. His very thing that was a setback in his life is the very thing that gave him the drive, the passion, the desire to do what God has asked him to do, which is lead the Israelites out of slavery. We can step up from our setbacks. Our future potential is locked behind the setbacks we have faced. And you and I know, we know this. We've done this in some way, shape, or form already. Maybe you had a financial situation that was very difficult and struggling. Maybe you had a situation where things were just a little bit tight, so you became a budget machine. Every cent mattered. Everything counted. I mean, when I was a young boy, we were three men in the house, or three boys in the house, my two older brothers and me, right? So my mom had to like make sure that we don't dish up food for ourselves. So what did she do? She dished up for us. And I remember it's very clearly that there'd be a big pot of rice and a little pot of mince. And she would go, two scoops of rice, one tablespoon of mince. Massive setback, but now look at me. I stepped up from that setback. Maybe you had a difficult situation in your marriage. Maybe you had a difficult fallout with a friend, or maybe just a difficult situation in some of your close relationships. And as a result, it's given you the desire to be so intentional about your future relationships. You decide you'll never do that again. You'll never say that again, or you'll never fight like that again. The setback is the very thing that gives you the power to be more intentional with future relationships, right? Maybe you were abused as a child, or maybe you lost a job, maybe you lost a breadwinner in your house, and those various things that made you feel isolated and alone made sure that you want to make sure that no one else ever feels isolated and alone, right? So now you're so intentional about showing compassion to others. The very setback is the thing that gave you potential to help others through that space. Church, we can step up from our setbacks. Our setbacks unlock a new way of life that we couldn't have attained without them. Our setbacks give us a new way of life that we couldn't have attained without them. Today we're talking about how to step up from our setbacks. How the very things that are supposed to hold us down and beat us up and break us down is the very thing that I can stand on and speak the power and life and forgiveness of Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. So today we're going to look at scripture. We're going to look at someone called Peter in scripture. A man, and we're going to see how he stepped up from his setbacks. Now the very setback that he had could have defined his future as a future without God. But he stepped up from it and then defined his future as a future very close to God and doing amazing things for God. We're going to look at the life of Peter. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He had a working class background. In fact, he failed out of like rabbi school. You know, he wasn't the top of the students, so he became a fisherman. And then he gets this one of a lifetime opportunity to follow Jesus. And he took it. He followed Jesus. Jesus said, come and follow me. And he followed me. And he took a chance. He was bold and often reckless. He was often courageous. And then very, very stupid at times. He's still in history the only man besides Jesus to walk on water, right? And he did amazing things through Jesus, and he saw Jesus do amazing things. Now I'm going to talk about Peter. I'm going to set the scene for you. Jesus has just been accused. He's about to get crucified. So God's marched towards Jesus, and Peter, being the brave and courageous one, steps to the guard. He goes, kucha, chops off his ear. And Jesus is like, come on, dude. This is not what we're for. This is not what we do. So Jesus goes, picks up the ear, slaps it back onto the guy's ear, you know. And now Jesus is marching away. He's walking away with the guards, and Peter, being courageous, decides to follow behind to see what's going to happen with Jesus. So we pick it up in Luke 22. Verse 54 to 60. See how Peter gathers a setback in a space. So they seized him being Jesus, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man was also with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you're also one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, and still another insisted, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And Peter, just in that moment, denies Jesus three times. And in verse 62, it says that Peter wept bitterly. You don't understand why did he weep bitterly? Because to deny your rabbi in Jewish culture was a big disgrace. It brought greatest honor onto you as a disciple of that rabbi, but also greatest honor onto the rabbi himself. Why? Because the rabbi can't keep you in check and show you the truth and convince you of his truth. But also you did not care enough to actually follow the one who's taught you for years and years. Now you actually don't care what he said, and you just don't follow him anymore. And actually, in some Jewish communities, if you denied your rabbi, you were kicked out of the community. Why? Because rabbis were seen as these heroes of the community, the top of the top of the teachers, the cream of the crop of people that had truths of God and relationship with God. And and you are denying that person, you get kicked out of the community. But this wasn't just any rabbi that Peter denied. This was Jesus. God in human form, the one who breathed the sun into the sky, the one who set the stars in place, the one who formed Peter's very body, he denied that rabbi. Denied him, saying, I don't know him. There's more than just the I don't know Jesus. It was a denial of who God is to him. So Jesus ends up being crucified and dies and resurrects on the third day, and he knows what Peter did. Instead of being angry and upset, Peter gets face to face with the loving, forgiving, kind, powerful face of Jesus. And Jesus then speaks to him. Jesus then reinstates him. Jesus forgives him. Jesus shows him that he can step up from his setback. In John 21, verse 15 to 17, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus and Peter, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, then tend to my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Here we see that Jesus reinstates Peter as a disciple. He says, now go look after my people. Go feed my sheep. You're no longer a person who just denied me. You are forgiven, but you're also empowered. You got to go do something. He gets sent out by Jesus to become one of the most powerful disciples. His shadow would heal people. He starts to step out and starts to live a life very close to Jesus and a life that impacts the community around him, right? So Peter then starts to live a life of courage and a life of stepping up from his setback. In fact, in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit descends on people, right? And people start to speak in funny languages, and the community goes, are these people drunk? What's going on? Peter, it says in scripture, Peter's voice rises up within him. Peter's voice rises up within him. And in a moment, Peter starts preaching about the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. He speaks about the power and the forgiveness of Jesus. And Peter starts speaking with love and with power and with anointing. And it says that his message cut to the very heart of people. Why? Because Peter did not speak as someone who knew about the love of God and the forgiveness of God. He spoke as someone who had firsthand experience about the love and the forgiveness of God. If Peter did not have that setback, he would have never understood the forgiveness and love of Jesus right in his face. And as a result of that setback, he was able to step up from it, and he changed the whole community in that space, and his message cut to the very heart of people. He stepped up from his setback. He had power in his message that he wouldn't have had if he didn't have that setback. Church, the same is true for us today. We can step up from our setbacks. We can have a message that can cut to the very hearts of people if we are just willing and able to say, Jesus, I need to step up from this thing. If I can just step up from this space. So Peter spoke with power. He spoke as someone who didn't know something about a book. You know, he didn't read it in a book somewhere. He had firsthand experience about the love and forgiveness of God. The very thing I was supposed to chop off his legs is the very thing that he stood on and preached with power. He stepped up from his setbacks. And the good news for us today, church, is we can do the same. We can step up from our setbacks. I don't know what you faced. I don't know what you're going through. But can I say right now, the truth of the scripture is this, that we can step up from our setbacks. There's power in your past. It is not wasted. We can do something about it. And why is it important? Well, Peter didn't step up from his setback because he wanted to feel good with Jesus. No, he was already forgiven. He already had a relationship with Jesus. Jesus already reinstated him, right? Peter stepped up from his setback because other people needed him too. Other people needed to see the face of Peter. Other people needed to see Peter speak up. Other people needed to see Peter have that authority anointing because he was the one who denied Jesus. And look how Jesus forgave him. If Jesus can forgive him, then surely he can forgive me. You see, Peter stepped up for other people. So church, the truth for us today is we need to step up from our setback because other people are waiting on the other side of our step up. Other people need to see you have faith in a dark time that you have. Other people need to see you be generous in a space where things are a little bit tight. Other people need to see you be compassionate even though you didn't experience compassion as a child. Other people need to see you step up. Other people need to see that you have God, the living power of God working in you and through you. You're not speaking of something that you know from a book. You're speaking of something that you know in your heart because you saw Jesus heal you and forgive you and empower you. So why can't they do it for them, right? People need to see that working of power of Jesus in your life. People need to see the scars that are healed on your arms. People need to see the scars that are healed on your heart because when you do, you're not just showing them something about Jesus. You're showing them Jesus' working power alive in you. We need to step up from our setbacks. We can't wallow in self-pity. We can't stay in that depression. We can't stay in a down space. I don't know what you're going through. I'm not trying to be ignorant here, but God's word is God's word and it's truth for all of us. We can step up from our setbacks. He does heal. He does forgive. He does give purpose. He does give hope. And he does not just heal us from something. He empowers us to do something with that something. Someone else needs to hear your story, church. Someone else needs to see your faith. Someone else needs to experience the love and compassion that you have because of your past. We need to step up from our setbacks, not for ourselves, but for other people. So if it's so important, then how we do it. How do we step up from our setbacks? How did Peter get it right? How did Jesus work with Peter? Well, we're going to talk about three things today to do that. The first thing is to face the pain. Second thing is to trade the shame. And the third one is to fuel the flame. To face the pain, trade the shame, and fuel the flame. I know it sounds catchy, but I promise you there's some powerful stuff here. God's going to do something. Okay. So we're going to face the pain. So imagine with me for a moment that this trash can is all the stuff that you consider trash in your life, right? Your past hurt, your past brokenness, your past things. And you just put it all into this little dustbin over here, hoping to never see it, hoping to never smell it, hoping to never be around it. You just chuck it in there. The problem with this trash can is it's in your house. It's in your life. And you know and I know that an unattended trash can takes over the aroma of the room. You can't hide it. You can spray as much air freshener as you want. When you go to bed and you wake up the next morning, okay, let me go to work, spray, fumigate, spray, go to work, come back home, guess what you smell? And before you know, there's some lava and stuff growing in there. And this thing starts to take over your life. You can't just leave the trash unattended. You can't leave the pain and the past unattended. We've got to do something about it. We've got to face that pain. But we're not going to face it alone this time. We're going to face it with Jesus. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to literally take each thing out one by one and say, Jesus, like, this is that part where I had nothing. I'm still upset with you about that. I prayed. But I'm going to face it with you again. I'm going to put it out. Maybe it's something that you did. You know, maybe you did something wrong in your past and caused you a setback. Maybe you had an addiction that has held you back in your life and it's like a weight that you can't let go of. And you keep making that bad mistake, that bad decision. Say, Jesus, I invite you into this space. I want to face this with you. Maybe it's something that was out of your control. Maybe you're born into a poor family or maybe like someone did something to you when you were young and it just left you with all this garbage and trash in your life. You're going to take it out and you're going to face it with Jesus. You're going to face the pain with Jesus. Maybe you don't know what your setback is. Can I give you a helpful tool to help identify what your setbacks are? You're going to use the if only statement. You're going to complete the sentence that's on the screen right now. If only I hadn't messed up. Or if only I didn't fail that test. If only I didn't come from a broken family. If only I didn't waste so much time. If only I didn't get hurt by the person. What is the if only statement of your life? If you can answer that question, then maybe you can start identifying what are the things that you need to face. We can't just stuff it away anymore, church. It can't just stay there. It's going to overtake our lives. The aroma is going to be there. The smell is going to be there. We got to face the pain. So how do we face the pain of Jesus? Well, Dr. Henry Cloud has a very helpful tool for us. He says, healing starts when you allow yourself to be seen, flaws and all. Opening up is the first step toward real transformation. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to face the pain of Jesus. How are we going to do? We're going to invite him in by speaking verbally about it. We're going to pray out loud about it because prayer is never about information. Prayer is about invitation, right? It's never about information. Jesus, you need to know this. No, Jesus knows this. We need to actually say these things out loud. So Jesus, I struggle with my past. Jesus, I have this addiction. Jesus, I hate that I was born into this family. Jesus, this is a frustration for me. Jesus, I struggle with this. We need to verbally say it. Why? Because it's an invitation to Jesus to say, Jesus, please come into this thing that I'm facing right now. My past is bothering me. My present is hurting me. Jesus, I need you to come into this space. And as we do that, as we start confessing and facing pain with him, we invite Jesus into that space. And so to help us heal through it. See, Jesus wants us to face our pain with him. Notice what Jesus does to Peter. He makes him face his pain. He makes him do it. How many times did Jesus say to Peter, do you love me? 3 times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? I'm sure when Peter heard that third time, it says he was grieved, right? When he heard that third time, he was like, I know you know, but now I know that you know. You know? And in that moment, in his dark, when he's reminded of his past, his dark issue, he doesn't see the face of an angry Jesus, an upset Jesus. He sees the smile and the love of a forgiving Jesus, an empowering Jesus. We got to face our pain. There's nothing too dark for Jesus. There's nothing too shameful for Jesus. There's nothing that you should hide from me. In fact, you should be in everything, even in your darkest spaces. Invite him into it by saying it out loud and verbally. Face the pain with him. So the first thing we do, we're going to face the pain. But see, the thing is then, as we face the pain, we now learn to let go of this stuff in our life because it's still there, right? Like, I mean, we face it now, the garbage is still there. Because now what Satan wants you to do is he wants you to walk around with this thing like this in front of you the whole time. You see, he wants you to, wherever you go in life, to have the shame of your life and the shame of your past in front of you. He wants you to smell it. He wants you to have it in your peripheral at all times. He wants you to see it. He wants you to be aware of it. He wants you to feel the weight of it at all times. So you can't just face this pain. We've got to learn to let go of this thing, right? So we're going to learn how to trade the shame. We're going to have to learn how to put this thing down. So how do I put this thing down, Jesus? How do I no longer hold on to it? How do I no longer have it in my life? How do I make sure that I don't carry it the whole time? How do I make sure I put this thing down? I don't want to hold it anymore. We're going to trade the shame. It's very important to trade the shame. And Brené Brown says, she has a very good definition of shame. She says, shame is the fear of disconnection. It is a fear that something we've done or failed to do, an ideal that we've not lived up to, or a goal that we've not accomplished makes us unworthy of connection. You see, if we can't let go of this shame, we'll never connect with Jesus in a way that we need to connect with him. We'll never be able to step up from the setback that we have because shame wants to hold you down, wants to keep you locked in, wants to keep you away from the power of Jesus in your life. The effects of shame can lead to feelings of unworthiness, disconnection, and a diminished sense of self. It often drives out behaviors. It often drives behaviors aimed at hiding perceived flaws, hindering authentic connections with others. See, if we can't trade our shame, if we can't trade this thing away and trade it for something else, we'll never have a connection with God. We'll never have that purpose or that confidence that God can use my past because shame tries to diminish and makes you feel worthless in your space. We need to learn how to trade that shame, church. So here's how we're going to do it. How do we trade the shame? Well, the first thing is we're going to name that shame. We're going to bring it into light. Like I said earlier, bring it into light by speaking out verbally to Jesus. But also bring it out to people, trusted people. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to replace lies of truth. Like if you feel like I'm not good enough, I'm not loved, I'm not called, you're going to replace it with truth because God's word says I'm loved. God's word says I'm called. God's word says that I have faith. God's word says that he's a light in my darkness. God's word says that I have a purpose in life. God's word says that he has a plan for my life, plan to give me a hope and a future. So my past is not going to hold me down. I'm going to replace it with truth, right? And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to experience grace through community. Start to share your struggles with trusted friends. Don't share it to any mucho out there, please. But share it with your trusted friends. Share it with someone because it's healing that happens in that space. And the fourth thing we do is we're going to walk in obedience, not perfection. Walk in obedience, not perfection. See, trading our shame is a slow process. You might have it here for a few years and then maybe a month and then and maybe like it'll be like here or it'll be like there or you'll be like, but it's a slow process. Walk in obedience every day. And as we do this, as we name it, as you replace it with truth, as we find healing in community, as we start to walk in obedience day by day, we'll start to see us letting go of the very shame that held us back. We start to trade that shame. Peter had to trade that shame. He had to let go of it. He said, I'm no longer a person who denied Jesus. I'm now a person who's called by Jesus. I'm no longer a person who didn't know who Jesus was. I'm now a person who can tell you in front of a whole crowd who Jesus is and what he can do. Right? And we need to trade our shame, church. We're going to face the pain and we're going to trade the shame. And last thing we're going to do is we're going to feel the flame. We're going to feel the flame. See, as we speak to people, as we start to face the pain, as we start to trade the shame, as we start to talk to people, we'll find something beautiful happens. I'll start to find that me talking about the forgiveness that I needed to experience from Jesus, me talking about my past and how I got healed from it, I start to see that my talking of my story starts to encourage other people. It starts to help other people. How Jesus brought me through my past starts to give other people a bit of faith. Look at what God did for them. Maybe he can do it for me. And before we know it, we start to see that we have a thing that we can do in people's lives that no one else can do. I have a compassion I can bring to people that no one else can bring. I have a story of hope that I can bring to people that no one else can bring. Like Josh's story. He can talk about camp like not many teens can talk about camp, right? He got baptized at camp, like the very thing that he came there lost and alone, a setback, right? And then he stepped up from a setback and now he can tell his story. And we go, yeah, I should probably take my teens to camp. Look at what God did for him. You see, as we talk about a past, it starts to heal us, but it starts to bring hope and faith to other people. And we start to see that I have something to do. It's almost like a call gets breathed on in the middle of my heart. like a call that's a little bit dormant and I start to breathe. The more I talk to people, the more I encourage people, the more I speak with faith, the more I pray for other people, this call starts to get breathed on. Oxygen starts to come on it. And before I know it, it starts to become a fire in my heart. And before I know it, I want to be a person who wants to preach the good news of Jesus. Before I know it, I want to become a person who's the most generous person in my community. Before I know it, I want to become a person who's the most loving person in my community. Because if I went through that, I'm going to make sure that no one else goes through this again. Because I can step up from my setback, not for myself, but for other people. Right? So how are we going to do it? We're going to look for other people who are struggling with the same things that we are struggling in. We're going to start praying for them. And as I do that, it starts to breathe oxygen onto the call, right? We're going to look for a place where I can serve a church or serve in a community with people who maybe struggle with the same things that I went through. And I'm going to, like, as I do that, as I start serving with them and encouraging them, it's going to start bringing like oxygen onto that call, right? Maybe we're going to start speaking about the healing Jesus gave me to others. And I'm going to start seeing how it encourages people and inspires them. You know, it's going to start bringing like oxygen onto that call. Maybe it's going to start to feel that flame, you know what I'm saying? Maybe like you had a dodgy past and you didn't feel compassion, but now you want to be the most compassionate person. You start to live your life a bit differently. You start to become the most compassionate person in your community. And as you see, it starts uplifting people. They go, yo, how did that person, how can that person love so much? How can they do it? Well, there must be something bigger than him inside of him, right? And before we know it, we don't just talk about Jesus. We don't just live a life thinking that we know about Jesus. We start to show people the living proof of Jesus in our lives. We start to step up from our setbacks. We start to feel the flame by stepping up on the very things that hold us back. You say, look at my pain. Look at my shame that no longer holds me back. I stand on it. It is my purpose right now. It is the faith that I have comes from this. It's not. I don't want to move on in spite of these things. I move on because of these things. I love people because of my past. I forgive people because of my past. I have power because of my past. And the very thing that's supposed to hold you back is the very thing that gives you a platform to preach from. Say, look at what Jesus did. Look at it. I'm not going to hide it anymore, but look at it. Yes, I was addicted to pornography, but now look at it. Yes, I was abused as a child, but now look at it. Yes, I had no money growing up, but now look at me. Look at what Jesus did. And you start to show people scars, not wounds. You start to show people scars, not a book. You start to show people like the living word, not just scriptures, right? It's not like a WhatsApp text like, hey, like Jesus loves you. No, no. Hey, Jesus loves you. Look at how he loves me. We start to show people the living proof of Jesus in their lives. And our message will cut to the hearts of people. Not because we're cool, but because of Jesus. And the living power is so alive and active in me that people can't help but deny that Jesus is doing something in me. Always say to people, I can't prove to you that Jesus is real, but you can't prove to me that he isn't. Because look at my scars. Look at my wounds. Look at what he did. I can face my pain. I can trade my shame. I can feel the flame. And as I do that, I step up from the very thing that's supposed to set me back. See, I'm in youth ministry as Pastor Cannon. You know why I'm in youth ministry? Firstly, I'm too old to be a teenager. Okay? I'm 31. I'm too old for these guys. They wear baggy jeans and Crocs. When my dad wore baggy jeans and Crocs in the mall, guess what I did? I walked the opposite side of the mall from him. Now they're trying to tell me how you're uncool because you're wearing sneakers and skinny jeans. Don't you tell me what you think is cool. I know what's cool. You're not cool. I'm too old for them. But you know why I'm there? You know why I love it? Because growing up, my dad wasn't around. Growing up, I didn't have a father figure around. So I had to face that pain. I had to trade that shame. And I feel the flame. I was like, God, show me how can this thing become something I can stand on? And I promised myself, since I was 16, I've been in youth ministry, I promised myself that no teenager will walk into these church doors and in Edenville and feel like there is no father around when I'm around. I don't know how to be a dad. I've never been one, but let's go to scripture and let's figure out together and let's experience a loving fatherness of Jesus in our lives, right? The very thing that's supposed to be a setback for me, the very thing that the enemy put in my life to try and destroy me and cut me down and give me diminished self-confidence is the very thing that I stand on and gave me a purpose in life. The very thing that I preach from, that I understand the fatherly love of God more than some people because I felt it, I experienced it. So when I talk to you about the fatherly love of God, I'm not talking about something that I read in scripture. I'm not talking about something that someone else told me. I'm talking about something that I experienced for myself. I experienced the loving grace of the God, the Father in me. I know what it's like to have Jesus as a father. The very thing that's supposed to set me back is the very thing I step up from. The very thing that gives me a purpose in this life. Church, we've got to step up from our setbacks because other people are waiting on the side of it. Our message will cut to the hearts of people when we do. Charles Spurgeon says, the Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. The Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. Corrie ten Boom says, every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. So once again, I know I'm a young person here. I don't know the setbacks that you faced. I don't know the pain that you faced. I don't know your childhood. I don't know your struggle right now. But I do know God's word. Irrespective of anything, any pain that you have to face, any shame that you have to trade, anything that you have to fan into flame, a fuel into flame, God's word remains true. And his word is this: he has plans for our lives. Plans to give us a hope and a future. My past might, like, oh God, how can this be hopeful? How can this be a future? What can I say? Step up from a setback, because you'll see the very thing supposed to cut off your knees is the very thing that gives you a hope and a future, for not for yourself, but for other people as well. Church, we can step up from our setbacks. We can step up from it. We can have a purpose in life, not in spite of our past, but because of our past. How are we going to do it? We're going to face the pain. We're going to trade the shame. And we're going to fuel the flame. Just as Peter stepped up from his setback, we can do the same. He's going to ask you, what do you need to step up from? What is that thing that is, if only, what is that thing? Can I say there's something powerful locked behind it? It's not a prison. It's a gateway to purpose. If you just step up from that setback. I'll tell you a story about a lady called Harriet Tubman. She's a woman who was born into slavery. Massive setback, right? Born into slavery in 1822 in Maryland. She grew up in slavery from a young age, and she endured harsh labor and cruelty. She actually faced a blow to her head that caused lifelong pain because of her slave people who treated her like that. But from a young age, she wanted to escape. And at the age of 29, Harriet escaped from slavery and found freedom in the North. But she couldn't rest knowing there's people back there. I've escaped, but there's other people back there who haven't escaped. She couldn't rest knowing that she is free, but her family is not free. Her friends are not free. Her enemies are not free. There's people still stuck in slavery. So she thought to herself, I need to do something about this. We can all agree that she had to face the pain and say, listen, okay, I need to do something about it. I need to face the pain that I was a slave. I need to trade it now, I'm no longer a slave. And I need to fuel the flame. I need to do something with it. So what she did is she went back into the South. And through Underground Railroad, she freed 300 other slaves as well. Who knows, that takes some proper facing your pain, right? Like the very thing that I never want to see again is the very thing that I'm stepping back into. The very thing that made me so shameful and so terrible is the very thing I'm going to go back into. The very thing that's supposed to hold me back is the very thing I'm going to step up from, and I'm going to have a new purpose in life. I'm going to free these slaves. I'm going to free these people. And 300 people's lives changed because of her. She stepped up from a setback. Why can you step up from today, church? What is the purpose that Jesus locked behind your setback? Your future potential, your faith is locked behind the very thing that's supposed to set you back. We're going to face the pain. We're going to trade the shame. We're going to fuel that flame and say, Jesus, here I am. Use me. We can step up from our setbacks. So I want to pray for two kinds of people today. And the first group is maybe you've never thought of your past as something that you can step up from. It's something you shoved away, something you never want to face again. And today, we want to face that pain of Jesus. You'll say, Jesus, I invite you into this pain. Or maybe you need to learn to let go now. Say, Jesus, I need to take active steps how to trade the shame. Or maybe you just need to say, Jesus, I need you to help me find out how I can fuel the flame of this thing so I can have a purpose in life. So everyone, just close your eyes wherever they are. Just close your eyes where you are. And if you want to have that moment now, we're going to face your pain with Jesus. You want to step up from your setback. You no longer want to sit in this thing or hold on to this thing. You want to step up from it. You want to live a new purpose. You want to live a new faith of it. Right now, can I ask you wherever you are? Just to stand where you are. I want to see who you are because I want to pray for you. No one else is looking around. You can just stand where you are. Just be brave for a second. Anyone, thank you. Thank you. You want to face that pain. Thank you. So many people. This is your moment now to do some business with Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need you to help me face that pain. I invite you into this pain. Jesus, I need you to help me to trade that shame. J- Just wherever you are, stand. Father God, I thank you for every single person who's standing right now. Jesus, you know our past. You know our setbacks. Oh, Jesus, we invite you in. Come and bring your holy power. Come and bring your forgiveness. Come and bring your grace. Come and bring your love. Help me face that pain. Help me, Jesus, trade that shame. Help me, Lord, to fan and to fuel that flame, to live a life of purpose. Thank you that from this day onwards, I want to walk in obedience, not in perfection. Help me to find my purpose through the setback. In Jesus' name. You can just sit wherever you are. Now, just to give everyone an opportunity, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, because the first thing we need to do is we need to be able to face our pain with Jesus. None of this is possible without Jesus. Only through the life and saving power of Jesus can we step up from our setback. Jesus says that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's life and life to the full. And the only way you can access this full life, this purposeful life that He has for us, is to accept Him and Him only into our lives. He's the only one who can redeem our past for His glory and for His purpose. So in a moment, if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, if you've never invited Him in, it will be my great privilege to pray for you. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to one. I just want to see who you are because it's my privilege to pray for you. I want to pray for you because this is the moment that you say, I'm going to find my hope and my faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. And because of Him, I'm going to step up from my setbacks. So I'm going to count to one, wherever you are. 3, 2, 1. Just raise your hand wherever you are. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, thank you. I see your hand in the back over there. Thank you. I see your hand in the back over there. Just keep your hand nice and high. We just love to see who you are because I want to pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just nice and high so I can see who you are. This is your moment to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to come into my heart. Anyone else? This is your last opportunity. Just raise your hand nice and high because I want to see who you are because it's my privilege to pray for you. Awesome stuff. Now, I'm going to pray for us right now. And those, if you put up your hand today, can I say, just listen to my prayer. Maybe pray your own prayer. But just in this moment, just give Jesus full access to your heart. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love and for your mercy. I thank you, Jesus, that you've brought me to this church and to this space today to hear your word. And Jesus, from today onwards, I invite you into my life. I ask you, please forgive my sins. Forgive my past. Help me, Father, to live from this day onward for you and for you only. I choose to live my life for you. I invite you into every aspect of my life. And help me, Father, to walk in obedience towards you day in and day out. I give my life to you. And thank you because of this moment, my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, pray. And everybody said,
amen, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website, and for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.